Spring is in full swing, and summer is just around the corner. A great time for a beach getaway at the Oceanfront Boardwalk Plaza Hotel in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Enjoy the best of oceanfront accommodations and amazing dining right on the beach, both with great views of the ocean and boardwalk. Enjoy a soak in the heated indoor spa pool, or book the adults-only concierge level and relax in the rooftop hot tubs. Book online at BoardwalkPlaza.com or call 800-333-333 Beach. Thanks to the Boardwalk Plaza for being the Bridge Podcast Network sponsor.
Welcome to another episode of Together, part of the Bridge Podcast Network. Together, hosted by author, pastor, and communicator Jack Eason, will equip us in overcoming loneliness. We'll learn to identify what gets in the way of real community, how to develop and deepen true friendships, and discover a place of true belonging. Now, here is the host of Together, Jack Eason.
Hey, thanks for joining me for another podcast as we talk about the issue of loneliness and community. My special guest today is Gary Robbins, an esteemed journalist who's been writing for over three decades from coast to coast, really, about this whole issue, not just of loneliness, but a lot of things. Gary is now a writer with the San Diego Tribune, and I caught up, Gary, with you with a lot of things that you have been writing on the issue of loneliness back three, four, maybe even five years ago. What was it that really got you into this whole issue of loneliness?
Well, I covered the university systems. I'm a science writer, which makes me on campuses a lot, like UC San Diego, San Diego State University. And I'm hearing about a lot of loneliness among students because, you know, they had to leave their dorms so quickly. Many of them had to move back home unexpectedly or find a place to live very rapidly. And then they had to revert to communicating like you and I are communicating right now instead of seeing each other socially on a kind of day-to-day existence. About 2 weeks ago, I wrote a long story in which I gave readers a sample of what college students at UC San Diego were saying on the Reddit social media. That's where college students tend to vent. Now, they use pseudonyms, but they express their own feelings there. And my God, so much disruption, so much loneliness. I mean, people really were, they would just say, I am lonely. I'm depressed. I feel alone. I feel isolated. I don't know how to connect with other people. How long is this going to last? That seems to arise from something else that I noticed. It's hard to generalize, but students who are from Generation Z, the first generation of students ever to have always had the internet, always had cell phones, and always had social media, they're experiencing a lot of loneliness. And I find that this group of students is much more likely to just talk about it, even unsolicited. I remember meeting one of the student editors at UC San Diego a couple of years ago, and we were just talking about technology and whatnot, and then unprompted, she talked about how lonely she was and how depressed and, you know, downcast as a person. And I thought, well, okay, you know, things like that happen randomly, but they've happened on other levels with other students that I've interviewed over the past couple of years. So I'm hearing it more than I had heard it at any time in my life. Yeah. I'm not sure where it's all coming from, but I certainly hear it and see it more.
Do you think that the pandemic and this virus has just brought maybe a more heightened awareness to it, or has it added to what was already there?
I think it's deepened what was already there, because here we are in late May. The disruption's been going on for about 3 months. Certainly you're hearing and seeing a lot of it, but I've been hearing a lot about it over a 2 or 3 year period. I don't have children, so it's not like I can talk to my own children and say, are you feeling this? But I'm on campuses all of the time, and they're large campuses. And these are things that people are talking to me about unsolicited. There's really large campaigns on these university campuses to deal with mental health issues. The volume of what's going on there is more than I have ever seen it ever. Mm. So it just feels like this is a generation that is more willing to talk about where their head is at. I'm 65. This is something that you didn't do when I was their age.
Mm, yeah.
In one of the articles, I saw the article that you mentioned where the students were venting through Reddit, the most recent article that you wrote about loneliness. Then there was one back in January where you talked about being lonely in a crowd. Yeah. And trying to overcome that with acceptance and wisdom. You know, one of the things that really caught my attention that you said in that article was by nature, human beings are social creatures. Yet as we age, our personal dynamics and lifestyles change, which can result in loneliness and isolation. So, but you're seeing not only among maybe the older community adults who maybe have lost their life partner, who may be lonely because of that, but now even among, so is there an age group where in your experience, you're seeing this to be more prevalent, or is there every age group is kind of can be subject to loneliness?
Every age group is subject to loneliness. Now, because I'm 65, I notice it perhaps more because I have, you know, I really hate the word elderly because it always implies something. Mm, yeah. But I have family members that are in their 80s and in their 90s. And some of them are in, you know, nursing homes or in Alzheimer's care facilities. And when you walk into places like that, the thing that strikes you above everything else is loneliness. Mm. You see it in malls. You see it just among walking among older people. And I expect that. But I guess I didn't expect it as much among very young people. And I'm wondering about it. I mean, because we talk about how connected they are and that they're talking back and forth in real time all of the time. They're sending photographs. When I was a young man, you took a photograph, you took it to the drugstore, and 7 days later, you had a photo. But everything is so instant, and we can talk to each other on FaceTime and on Zoom. I guess I assumed that there wouldn't be as much, but I feel it in them. I feel it in myself, in a sense, because I've been working out of my home office for a couple of months. It's very isolating, so I don't have the opportunity, just like you and I do in our regular life when we see someone that we're friends with, we hug them, we shake their hands, right. And that's suddenly gone. And it is really, really jarring. Mm, yes. And it's very emotionally unsettling.
You mentioned senior associate dean in one of your articles that you had spoken with, I think at the UC San Diego School of Medicine. And I talked to a similar clinician at Mount Sinai Medical University in New York, and they both said, this person that you quoted said similar things about loneliness rivaling things like smoking and obesity and shortening the lifespan of people. I think if the vast majority of the public understood how significant that is, do you think that would maybe wake us up to how important it is that we deal with this issue?
Oh, I certainly hope so. Think about how it manifests. You know, I was reading your background and how much you've done in religion. And here in California, that is one of the biggest topics we have right now. When can people go back in worship? Right. So the governor, you know, in fact, I think it's going to be, it's very soon, like the Catholic Church has been notified locally that they can begin having mass again on June 8th. And just hearing, I have friends who are Catholic, and just hearing about the physicality of that, not just seeing a person, but hugging a person. Because in our everyday lives, even though we can see each other and hear each other all the time and all the place, I don't know, that doesn't replace a hug.
Yeah,
it doesn't replace a handshake or being able to look into someone's eyes and just simply say, I am so glad to see you. You know, over the weekend, I caught myself doing something unexpected. I had a Zoom call with Peter Salk. Peter Salk is the son of Jonas Salk, the man who conquered polio. Peter lives here in La Jolla. And I did a story about, Peter, you're 76 years old. How are you dealing with the pandemic? You know, are you lonely? We talked about that. And at the end of the conversation, I said to him, thank you, Peter Salk, you know, where you mentioned someone's entire name. You know, you want them to understand that I'm so glad to have talked to you. Not just their first name. And there was like a little second, and he brightened up a little bit and says, thank you, Gary Robbins. And I think it was just a way of two people who are friends who haven't seen each other connecting. Mm. You know, it's like, you. I'm talking to you. Miss you.
You know, you're right. I hope that if anything, again, if you're watching or listening to this, hopefully post-pandemic, post-COVID-19, those of us who are still in the midst of it right now, I hope, Gary, if there's anything that I've learned, and I've learned a lot from this time, it's what you just said, that though we can connect, and this is great technology, I love technology, but it doesn't replace that human connection in person like you're talking about. What are some other solutions as you study this topic that you're hearing help against this tide of loneliness? Are you seeing anything that seems to be working that you would recommend to somebody who finds himself lonely?
I was hoping you had the solution, because I'm feeling the same loneliness that everybody else is. I think it's connecting with people that you haven't talked to. So we can call our parents and children and perhaps people we go to church with that we see regularly. But maybe what we should also be doing is reconnecting with people that we haven't seen, because we don't know what's going on in their heart. And it comes back to this thing I hear about all the time that I believe in. The thing that we really need to pay attention to is how we make other people feel. And at a time when we're so isolated and feeling lonely, reaching out to someone who hasn't heard from us in a while and simply saying, I was thinking about you. I hope you don't feel weirded out. I remember something in particular, a good time, and I was hoping you were well. I was wondering how you are. So maybe reaching out to those people that aren't in our daily eyesight.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it does come back to real connection and real community. I like to recommend that people kind of visit old school, the way we did old school friendships, kind of like you said about, just reaching out and actually calling somebody. You know, now again, as you mentioned, we're so used to, if we want to photograph, boom, we just print it right off the computer. You know, now if we want to talk to a friend, we can do Zoom or FaceTime. But when we were growing up, it was, you had to get on your bike and ride down the street and actually knock on the door and physically say, can Tommy come out and play?
Yeah.
And as much as it may seem like to the Gen Z, that would be a hassle, There was a great part of, again, just the human connection and doing life together. And I agree with you. I do think that is part of the solution, is just community and connectivity, regardless of any age group. What else could you share? I know your time is valuable, as far as your study along these issues of loneliness, all these articles. If you want to check Gary's work out and his writings, you can just, of course, Google his name and type in loneliness, and that's how several of these articles I'm seeing came up. But what else could you share that would encourage someone, and maybe who's facing this, maybe some other things to consider?
You love the people in your life, but sometimes you just don't understand each other. Wouldn't it be great if there was a tool to help you do that?
The Enneagram is a great tool to inspire better connections with others, ourselves, and God. It's about learning what motivates us, or how we and others see the world. Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Kim. Join us on the journey to better relationships utilizing the Enneagram.
Check out our podcast, If You Really Knew Me, and subscribe today.
So one thing I'm working on this afternoon is empathy. The UC San Diego received a $100 million gift last year from the philanthropist Denny Sanford for the study of empathy. And I'm supposed to talk to the university this afternoon, because the program is now underway. And I'm curious as to whether they're, what programs they've undertaken in it's compassion and empathy. How do you bring that? Have they been doing something special to bring those together to fight the loneliness and the isolation that people are feeling during the pandemic? I mean, they were given this extraordinary sum of money to do it. What are they doing with it? How do you cultivate feelings of empathy? I think that if you do cultivate empathy, that people generally feel less lonely. Not only the person who is receiving the empathy, but the person who's giving the empathy. So I find myself being very curious right now, are they doing anything to really reach out beyond an academic institution into the communities and cultivate empathy.
Wow. Yeah. That...
I don't want to get bogged down in talking about politics, for example, but I think in our society, because we've had a rough couple of years and we're in an election year and we've had to deal with a pandemic and we've had to deal with other problems, it feels like we're exhausted as people.
Yes.
And we just want someone to hug us sometime and, or someone to stop in their tracks and say, oh, I was thinking about you. Yeah. How are you? Because I don't have the answers. I just, it's a feeling. I'm feeling what everybody else is feeling.
Right.
So maybe empathy and compassion and being aware of it. I watched a movie, you might've seen it. It was the movie Bohemian Rhapsody about the band Queen. And the father tells his son, what you need to be is about good thoughts, good words, good deeds. If a person behaves like that, I think they make other people less lonely.
Mm, yeah.
They make them feel more a part of things. And we're so fractured as a society right now, I think we overlook the fact that maybe we're yelling about partisan things and it's making us really uptight and it's making us isolated and fractured and lonely. But most of the time, we actually have a lot in common with people who are different than us.
That's right.
Yeah. It's just that there's so much of this going on out there that we don't go like this enough to realize that we actually do have a lot in common and maybe we should just calm down a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're right. And you would be a good person, just life experience and what you've written maybe to ask this question. I sometimes wonder, I agree with everything that you said, by the way, I sometimes wonder if in our attempt to give people validity with all of these subgroups in society that we have created for all these different beliefs about whether it's marriage or whether it's lifestyle or whether it's politics, whatever it is, we've created all these sub compartments in our attempt to bring validity and to bring them rights and acknowledge that they have those rights and they do, that maybe in doing that, we've also divided ourselves into all these subcategories that we fail to realize, like you just said, that we do have a lot more in common than we have uncommon. And it's hard to create empathy when you think, well, I'm in this little box and you don't agree with this little box. You're in that little box. So how could you ever empathize with me? But we're all in the human race box.
that is so spot on. There are times, you know, as a reporter, I cover confrontation and at times among the type of groups that you're talking about. But sometimes I'm also coming into contact with people from both sides. And what I just hear is that they want to be heard.
Yes.
And if both sides can just exhale, I think what they often find is that maybe they have a different take on something, but most of everything else is what they have in common. People, even people in opposition, have a great deal in common. And so if we just slow down for a minute and try to, for a minute, to just stop winning all these arguments.
Yes.
And just talk to people, then a lot of these other problems decrease. Mm. You know, I regard myself as a fairly progressive person, but I don't like every 2 minutes seeing identity politics breaking into what we're trying to discuss. Mm. Yeah. You and I are having a conversation. We're from different parts of America. We have different beliefs and probably in a lot of ways, but we're having a good conversation.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. And I think it's understanding that everybody has value and brings something to the table. I don't have the market on whatever I think about a particular idea. And unfortunately, I think you're right. In our world today, we've become so fractured, is a great word that you used, that we don't see that everyone has some value to it. And I'm just, I guess I'm old enough to realize that I know a lot less than I used to think that I did. So I want to learn from other people who have different life experiences and especially when it comes to this issue of loneliness, which I think every person you would ask, no matter their belief system, if you ask them, you know, would you like being lonely? almost 100% of us would say, no, we don't want to be lonely. We want to have friends and community. And I had a friend of mine the other day that just said, the best way to get friends is to be a friend. Mm. And I thought, you know, it's not an original. He quoted somebody else, but I thought, you know, that's so true, which takes the attention off me and puts it on someone else. And in so doing, I get the connection that I wanted in the first place with somebody else. So Gary, thank you. You're one of my new friends. If I get out to the West Coast, I'd love to visit. Now, how far are you from San Diego itself?
I'm within the city limits. Okay. I'm in a little community called Del Mar. San Diego is very large, and it's a wonderful community. So if you come out here, let's get together.
Yeah, I would love that. My wife and I visited, and she would live there in a heartbeat. She loves the climate and the temperature.
Yeah.
And we used to do a lot of work with some students at a camp out in Pine Valley.
Oh, yeah.
For several years. And it was just so beautiful. I have great fond memories of that whole area of the country. But grateful for you and for a little bit of time today. And if you want to get connected again with Gary's writings, you can find him online right there. Just Google Gary Robbins, San Diego, Union Tribune, several articles that will come up. If somebody, is that the best way for people to get connected with you? I know you're on social media too. I guess they could connect that way.
I'm on Facebook as well. Okay. And it's simply the name Gary Robbins. That's, you know, but I used to sit next to a tech writer when Facebook really started. She says, oh, you should get the screen name Gary Robbins before someone else gets it. And it turns out there are a lot of other people have the same name. So if you just type Gary Robbins, I'm on Facebook. My email is gary.robbins@sdunion.com. And I would love to hear from people.
Awesome.
If you'd like to find out more information about Gary, you can reach out to him through social media or his email address, as he mentioned. And for more information about loneliness, don't forget the book is coming out. You can even do the pre-orders right now online at jackeason.com. More information coming up in a future podcast, so keep it tuned right here. Please share this podcast with a friend and also give us a rating right there on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Together on the Bridge Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss a beat. Share your thoughts and questions about this episode by emailing podcast@wearethebridge.org. You can find other great podcasts by heading over to the Listen tab at wearethebridge.org/podcast.